Well, as always, we thank the Lord for this opportunity, as it's already been mentioned, for the opportunity to be here once again in the Lord's house, to sing songs about Him, to thank Him, to praise Him, to come before Him and with request, with burdens, knowing that He hears and cares about each and every petition that we bring to Him. I have a little burden on my heart this evening I'd like to share with you. Before I get into this burden, I will say that I feel like this is kind of, in the very few short years that I've been in the ministry, this might be kind of my overall, if you could say overall, burden. This is just kind of what the Lord has put on my heart for the last few years. So some of the things that I might mention might be things that you've heard in the past and very recently. Again, it's hard for my mind to stray too far from this thought when the Lord deals with me. So if you hear something that you've heard recently or in the past at any time, I just ask that you would bear with us this evening, and I ask for your prayers that that we will let the Lord speak through us, through these lips of clay, and that He will bless this time. I've written on the board behind me, a work in progress. There's a scripture in Philippians, and it was where Paul was greeting the saints there in Philippi. And I believe it's in the first chapter. And that verse says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will continue to perform that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. It reminded me of the words of a song, a little children's song. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. We've sang it quite often. And that's, He's still working on me. And I know we've had lots of thoughts and comments about that song, but oh, how true are the words to that song. He's still working on me to make me be what I ought to be. My thought this evening is a work in progress. That work that the Lord does on us as humans, and where He wants us to be, and how he completes that work, and how willing we are for Him to complete that work. You may think it's strange, or maybe a little different, but I have, from time to time, not very often, but every once in a while, I will stand in front of a mirror, and I will look at that reflection in the mirror. And as deep as I know how to look, in the eyes of the person looking back at me, I try to, I don't even know if I know how to put this into words, but as I look at that person in the mirror, my reflection, I try to know and understand what is in that person. I try to just, if I could, God knows the heart of that person in the mirror. And besides God knowing that heart, we should know the heart of that person in the mirror and what that person is made up of. And I really, sometimes I try to look at that reflection, and I try to see what is that person in that mirror really made up of? Is that person in the mirror something that is beneficial to society? Is that person in the mirror something that someone else wants to be around and just all those kind of things? And sometimes when I can get into a deep state of mind about those type of things, sometimes I will discover things. Sometimes I will discover things that maybe I would have rather not discovered. Sometimes I see some things in there that maybe I wish wasn't there. Sometimes I might see some things that I wish could be changed, that I wish could be different. And I do thank the Lord from the place that He's brought me from. But remember, dear ones, I hope that we are still a work in progress. I am so thankful. The Word says, I am so thankful that God is not finished with that person that we see in the mirror. I'm so thankful that there is room for improvement, that there is potential there for that person, ourself, that there is room for that person to grow, to mature, to feel the Lord's pricks and prods, that we don't have to stay the same, that if we see something, if the Lord in His goodness and His mercy reveals something to us that is maybe a stench to our nostrils or that is unpleasurable, that it doesn't have to stay that way. Thank the Lord that He is patient and that He is willing to work with us. And when I think those kind of thoughts, and I thank the Lord for those things, then in my mind, it begins to kind of turn into a prayer. And say, Lord, I've identified these things. Thank You so much for showing me these things. But Lord, help me. Help me to be able to conform to Your will and what You would have for me. Help me to, Lord, do You want me to bend? Do you need to bend me a little bit? Then Lord, help me to bend. Help me to be flexible. Help me, Lord, is there something You want me to do? Is there somewhere You want me to go? Is that the work? Is that the work that You want to do in me? Lord, help us to be that work in progress. It says, being confident that He which hath begun the good work, that He will perform it, that He will continue, that we will let Him continue. Lord, help us to be that work in progress. So I would like to look at a couple examples that the Lord brought to my mind. I'd like to look over there in Exodus, starting chapter 3. This is the story of Moses. And quite a lengthy story, and of course I know time will not allow us to begin to read the complete story of Moses. But I guess if you allow me just a brief summary, you had the Israelites there, slaves in Egypt, and they had been crying to the Lord for years, begging the Lord to be freed. And the Lord heard their prayers. And God had a plan. And dear ones, let me back up a little bit. God has a plan for each and every one of His children. And that is why He wants to continue. That is why we say He is working on me. And that is because He uses, I've heard it said before, He will use man. He will work through man. He will work through the lips of clay, our hands, our feet, to complete His mission, His purpose, and here in this world today. So the Israel, the slaves, had begged God for mercy. They longed to be freed. God heard their prayer, and God had a plan. And as the story goes, he sent a boy born to a Hebrew slave, found by the Pharaoh's daughter, and was raised there in the palace. And the scripture says in there in Exodus that when he became a man, he, if I have the wording right, he was out walking. After he was grown, he was out walking. And circumstance would have it that he saw a Hebrew being beaten, being whipped by the Egyptians. And he took it upon himself to take the life of that Egyptian. Well, he was seen. It was not a secret. And he fled for his life. Now, I try to read between the lines here a little bit. And I know God had a plan from the beginning. God had a plan of how it would, how the slaves would be freed and how he would go about doing that. And I can't help but wonder if this moment right here, these circumstances that God allowed to happen when Moses killed the Egyptian, that was the beginning of God's plan and of God calling. Moses looked at that situation and thought, he had to have looked at that situation and thought, something is not right here. This is not how things are supposed to be. And maybe he felt something inside of him. Maybe he felt some kind of kinship, of brotherhood to that Hebrew slave, and thought, something is not right here. And circumstances led him to have to flee for his life. So Moses goes on, and he goes to Midian and marries, and his father-in-law is Jethro, and he settles down there with Jethro, and he begins to tend to Jethro's sheep. He becomes a shepherd, a simple lifestyle, a simple man, far from what he knew in Egypt. But remember, the beginning of a great work that God wanted to accomplish. So, as he is there tending to the sheep, Scripture tells us in the third chapter of Exodus that he goes behind the mountain with the sheep, and the Lord causes an angel. He sees this angel through the burning bush, and he is drawn to that. He takes an interest in that. The Lord is now beginning to deal with Moses and work with Moses and cause him to have an interest in that thing. And he says, I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to go see this bush. So I'd like to pick up there in the third chapter of Exodus, starting about verse 9. And there was some, he went and he was there with the bush, and there was some exchange of words between him and the Lord. And those are very important. I don't pass those up, saying they're not of importance, because they are. But I would like to pick up in verse 9, where God starts to give Moses some very specific directions. So starting at verse 9 says, "Now therefore," this is God speaking to Moses, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God up on the mountain." If you read on, there's some more exchange. God continues to give more instruction. And then you get into chapter 4, and Moses starts with some excuses. God had given him direction. He told Moses what he wanted to do. "Moses, this is what I need from you. This is what I desire of you. This is my plan to bring the Israel out of Egypt." And Moses starts in with excuses. We won't read all the verses, but he answered. Verse 1 says, "They will not believe me. They're not going to hearken unto my voice. They're not going to listen to me, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" Lord, I'm reading between the lines here. And I can almost see most saying, Lord, I'm a simple man, Lord. I'm a shepherd. I take care of sheep. Lord, are you sure that I'm the one that you want to lead these slaves out of Egypt? Lord, I'm comfortable where I'm at. Maybe I'm good at what I do. Given every excuse he could think of as to why he may not be the man for the job. So God decides to prove himself to Moses. So we go through the account of the rod. God tells Moses, throw down your rod. He did. It turned to a serpent. He told Moses to pick it up. It turned to a rod. He said, take your hand. You see your hand? You see how clean it is? You see your flesh? Put it in your cloak. Moses put it in his cloak and it's leprosy. Put it in your cloak again. Pull it out. It's back to nice, pretty, clean flesh. So Moses sees the power of God, but he still has excuses. Verse 10, chapter 4, says, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, he's seen the power of God. He's seen what God can do. He knows what God wants him to do. But he still says, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, I'm of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Verse 14 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And I'll stop right there. What a terrifying place to be in. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. If you know who God is and what God is capable of doing, and we read through Scripture that we still serve this same God that was talking to Moses in the burning bush, that was speaking in audible tones to Moses, dear ones, I would ask us to stop and think about when the Lord gives us direction, when the Lord wants to do something in our life, when He wants to poke and prod and reshape. If we think about the Scripture that we are clay in the potter's hands, and He wants to reshape us and twist us and wants to bend us, Lord, help us that we not respond and give excuses. That we can, with a willing heart, as Moses eventually said, I pray thee by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Lord, okay. Lord, help us. I don't figure and I don't think that we want to be in a place where we will feel the Lord's anger and that we will feel the Lord's wrath. Lord, help us to be willing, to be that work in progress, to be willing to go and to be willing to do, as uncomfortable as it may seem. And if you read on through Scripture, it didn't stop there. God continued to give direction, not all at one time, day by day, week by week. If you read on through the next few chapters, just read how many times God said, Moses, go to Pharaoh. Go to Pharaoh. Rise up early in the morning. Several times he repeats that. Go to Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh to set my children free. He had to tell him over, step by step, what to do. But he promised Moses, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to give you this. Let me work with you. Let me lead you. Let me show you where to go. But Moses, you have to be willing. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be willing. God's plan eventually was fulfilled. They were, as the story goes, they were delivered out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and the story goes, the Red Sea was split, the waters were split apart, they went through, the Egyptians tried to come through, the waters crashed up on them, and that part, that part of God's plans was fulfilled. Now, Moses, we know he made some blunders and he had to suffer the consequences. But paying attention to the part of the story is God had a plan. He worked through Moses to complete that plan. Moses had excuses. Lord, help us not to be in that place that Moses was and have excuses, but help us to be willing to say, yes, Lord. So I'd like to jump ahead, another example, quite a few years, as a matter of fact, to the New Testament. I'd like to jump over in Luke. My thoughts now go to the disciples. And I think I've often given much thought to what a privilege it must have been to be one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to be there with Him, to hear the audible tones, to hear the instruction, to feel the love, to be in His presence and feel that connection. What a privilege it must have been. And I think of how there in Matthew, I believe it was, Jesus told His disciples to go. And He gave them the authority to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, preach, share the gospel. But before they did that, He didn't just go pick His 12 disciples and say, I choose you, 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 and you, and then the very next day send them off. No, there was some time that He had to spend with them. And He had to teach them. There was some learning curves they had to go through. But my mind goes more specifically. I'd like to talk about one individual. I'm thinking of Peter. And they did. They definitely did share a special relationship. Peter loved the Lord. The Lord loved Peter. And I'd like to look at chapter 5, starting at verse 1, and look at this little account of Peter, an encounter that the Lord had with him. Luke 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I think of this situation of Peter, and I would just like us, if we could, to kind of maybe to put ourselves there in that moment of time. I think this is a very, very special situation for Peter. If I could try to paint a picture and lay out the setting for you, and if you will allow me this liberty, I can see Jesus in this first verse, people all around Him, pressed upon Him, wanting to hear something from their Lord, wanting to hear something, some words of encouragement, they want some teaching, whatever it was that the Lord had to say. And the Lord looks and says, you know what, I need to get in a place where I can better communicate with these people, where they can better hear me. So He looks over and He sees two empty ships. And He looks over and He sees the men that have the ships and they're there, they're washing their nets. And he finds Peter and he asks Peter, Simon, can we use your ship? Can we use your boat? Man, I have something I would like to share with these people. You mind if we get in your boat and just push off a little bit off the shore? Maybe we can get a better view of what's going on. Maybe they can hear me better. Simon complies with the Lord's request. And I think this, Now, I'm reading into this, and maybe some of this is opinion. Lord, help us here. I believe this was the start of the Lord working with Peter and seeing just how willing Peter was going to be as we get farther a little bit into this story. So Peter, it sounds like Peter had no problem with that. And he lent the Lord his boat, and they push off into the water, and the Lord says what he has to say. And once the, it says verse 4, now when he had left speaking, now when the Lord finished up what he had to say, he looked at Peter and he said, launch out into the deep. Now, if you have read anything about this time, this setting, the occupation that these men had as fishermen, let me explain what I've found. This occupation was a very popular occupation, this occupation of being a fisherman. And in this day and time, and in this geographical location, it is believed that when you went fishing and expected to catch fish, you did it at nighttime. And you did it in shallow water, next to the shore. That's where you could hope to be the most successful. So think back to Jesus approaches these two empty boats, and he sees men over here washing their nets. Well, we are of the mind that they're washing their nets because they had been out fishing all night long. And they're preparing their nets to put up so they can maybe go get a day's rest so they can be ready to fish again that night. Well, here it is sometime, maybe in the morning or the middle of the day, that Jesus has finished talking to the people, and he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a catch. Let's see if we can catch some fish out in the deep. And knowing what Peter knew, and knowing that he was a professional at what he did, I have to wonder if he just kind of maybe looked at the Lord and kind of scratched his head. And maybe in his mind, and this would have been my way of thinking, Lord, this doesn't sound quite right. He said in verse 5, he said, Master, we have toiled all night long. We've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Lord, this is not how you catch fish. We catch fish at night around here, and we catch it closer to the bank. But the Lord said, launch out in the deep. I have to wonder in Peter's mind, this wasn't making any sense. Any sense at all. I'd like to say there might come times in life that the Lord is wanting something from me, or is wanting to show me something, is wanting to work on me in such a way that just doesn't make any sense to my human understanding, my human knowledge of things. It might not be something that might be able to wrap my head around, and yet the Lord might be requiring this of me to fulfill a plan or to work a plan. So Peter says, Lord, we've already fished all night. We didn't catch anything. We're in the middle of the day. You want me to go to the deep, and you want me to throw my net overboard. But it didn't stop there. And Peter said at the end of verse 5, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter said yes. And dear ones, that's what we're going to have to do when the Lord stops by and says, go a little bit deeper. Go a little bit farther out. As uncomfortable as it may seem, as much as you don't understand, as much as you don't know, as much as you think you know, go a little bit farther out. And you'll see. Trust me. Trust me, Peter. Launch out in the deep. And just see what I can do. I think a little bit farther on. I think about the love. I am so thankful Peter said yes. And I think farther on in Scripture where the Lord was asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, I love you. And he asked him a second time. And the response the Lord gave was, Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep, Peter. Peter, there's hungry souls out there. Peter, go into the world and preach and teach and tell them about me. Go do all that stuff, Peter. Feed my sheep. But before you do that, launch out a little bit deeper. Let's go in some unfamiliar territory. Let's do this first. Dear ones, there's some things the Lord might want to do with us first, before He calls us to certain things. It's a getting ready stage. It's a preparation. It's some things that as humans, we're not able to see the big picture. And thank the Lord we can't see the big picture. If the Lord allowed us to see the big picture, if He would have allowed Peter to see the big picture, I don't know what Peter's response would have been. If He would have told Peter all the difficulty and all the things that he would have faced, I don't know what Peter's response would have been. If He were to allow us to see the big picture, what would our response be? But the Lord, you know, I can't help but wonder, when He spoke to Peter, Peter, just listen. Listen to me, Peter. Peter, I know you have been out fishing all night long. I saw you washing your nets. I know these things. I know you're tired. Folks, the Lord knows these things about us. He knows we're tired. He knows what we know. He knows what we understand. But if we would just allow Him to work, to continue the work, to continue to be that work in progress, to allow Him to continue to show us things that we can continually grow. There is much work to be done for the Lord. Much, much work to be done for the Lord. And I don't stand up here this evening and tell you that this message, I know I made reference to the disciples going and preaching and teaching. I don't stand up here and tell you that this burden is a burden to tell you that the Lord is calling individuals to preach. I just tell you that there is much, much work to do for the Lord. And as a child of God, as children of God, it should be our desire to want to do those things, to want to do those things for the Lord, to want to go, to want to do. But there might be some things that He wants to work within us to help us to see, to help us to change, to prepare us, to get us ready. You know, God's not going to call us or put us in a situation that we're not ready for. But He sure does want to work on. He's still working on. He wants to continue to work in each and every one of our lives that we can be ready for when He does call. My mind goes back to Moses. You know, we so many times in life can get comfortable in our situations. And we can get to a point and we can say, well, this is it. This, I'm saved, and now I'm where the Lord wants me to be. And to a point, we are where the Lord wants us to be, or if we are saved, and if we are following Scripture. But folks, remember, there's always room for improvement. There's always potential to grow. There's always potential to be reshaped, to be flexible. Lord, help us not to take on the mindset that I've already done it all, or that I've grown all I need to grow, or that I've got it all figured out. Lord, help us to be willing to be that work in progress. There's a scripture in Philippians, we won't turn there, but Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure." Lord, help us to be willing to let the Lord work in our lives. I also think of the verse of that song, says something about, "Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Take my will, my passion. I surrender. Lord, I surrender all in Thee. Lord, in Me abide." And that is my burden, that as we go down this road, that we not get comfortable with where we're at, that we will have a desire to press forward, that we will have a desire to do more, that we will not lose anything that we have gained. By no means do we want to lose anything that we have gained. But I surely don't want to come to this point in my life and say, "This is it. This is it." If there's some more stuff, if there's more things that the Lord has for me, if there's more blessings and more things that He wants me to experience and to be part of, by all means, that's where I want to be. That's what I want to work toward. But in order to get there, and in order to get to that place, if the Lord has been so gracious to show me that, I'm going to have to be willing to be worked on. I'm going to have to let the Lord have His way in my life. I'm going to have to keep that desire at the forefront of my mind, that I want to grow. And yes, there are growing pains in life. There are uncomfortable situations. And Moses was comfortable where he was at, tending to sheep. I can't help it, man. That's a simple lifestyle. You go out there and you poke a stick at the sheep, and the sheep go where you want them to go. And every once in a while, you might have to fight back a little wolf. But Moses is a big, strong guy. I'm good at what I do. I'm comfortable. I'm married. I have a boy. But God had much bigger plans. He had much bigger plans that Moses couldn't see at the time. But Moses was willing to step out, to be a vessel for the Lord. Dear ones, that's where we're going to have to be. We're going to have to be willing to get out of routine, to get out of comfortable situations, to be willing to be stretched, to be willing to be worked with. Lord, help us that we not become stiff-necked and "I don't want to move," and Lord, help us. Y'all pray for me. I do appreciate you tuning in this evening. I appreciate those here in the building this evening that have listened. Lord, help us to be willing to be worked with. He's still working me. Thank the Lord for His patience to work with us. Y'all pray for me that I can practice what I preach. I want to be in a place that I can allow the Lord to work in my life. Y'all pray for me.